A gentleman, well known in this parts, one of the best golfers to come out of the Edmonton area. He had a unique path to get to the Masters. As an amateur golfer, then was for a brief time, he might not remember this. He was an internet model. And then he is now, he was Vijay Singh's caddy for a few years. And this year got recruited by Corey Connors. And they teamed up and have off to a good start, just finishing top 10 again at the Masters. We're joined by Danny Saul. Danny, how you doing, man?
Gregor, nice to be on your show. Long-time listener and friend. First time on the show.
Well, actually, no, you've been on the show before. Come on now.
Jeez. I guess so.
Yeah, I think you have, but I know what you were saying there. I like it a lot. And in honor of you coming on the show today, Danny, because I was looking at that photo shoot from 2008 when you and I were wearing these vests at Identity Clothing. I'm actually wearing a vest right now just for the interview, just to relive those days.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. I probably could fit in that one a little bit better now than back then.
So let's talk about how, you know, like the whole caddying thing. You're with Vijay Singh, one of the greatest golfers ever on the senior tour. How'd you get recruited to go with Corey Connors?
It happened last year at the Masters. I was walking. We finished late on Friday. We had a weather delay. So we were on the second hole. We basically had, seven holes left to play. Ran out of daytime. So we were walking back up the hill. And the champion's parking lot's right behind the clubhouse. So I dropped VJ's bag off there, and right there, there's like this cart station. So you get on that and take it to the caddy headquarters, or you can walk it, which is a long walk. But that Friday night, I go, I think I'm going to walk this one. Because I just didn't know if I'd ever be back there. And as I was walking, I ran into Corey Connors' wife, Mal, and I walked with her up to the area, and we kind of had a brief talking about what Corey's plans were, and this kind of organically happened, and that was kind of how it all started.
Well, you know, so that sounds a lot like kind of dating, right? You're dating with a partner, but is there, you know, there's obviously got to be some interaction as far as, like, I guess, chemistry between you and whoever you're carrying the bag for, or whoever your caddy is. But what about as far as like kind of the same belief in playing the game of golf? Does that ever come up?
It doesn't, but I just know we both kind of see the same shot. So we've been communicating really well out there, and it's just been a nice, you know, transition for me through working through Mike Weir and VJ, and now I think Corey trusts, you know, what I have to say, and I feel confident saying it. And it's something that I had to learn how to do. You know, it's not easy to really speak up in front of, you know, former number ones in the world. And I feel like, you know, Corey can get to that point, and I just feel confident and comfortable being able to, for me and myself, to communicate and caddy for him. When I'm caddying, I feel like I'm hitting the shot as well. So it's easy. I think that's working well for the way I'm doing it.
Danny Saul joins us. I like that, Dan. It's like anything, you know, you gain confidence. Like, you were a really good golfer yourself, and I know you'd thought about, you know, going the pro route again a few years ago. Teaming up now with Corey, like, do you plan on playing, or are you kind of now saying, you know what, I'm just going to focus on being a full-time caddy and be the best caddy I can be?
Right now my focus is on Corey, but I'm always working on my own game. I still kind of believe in it, but obviously, I'm doing well with Corey, and I'm believing in him, and it's his time right now. So I love the game of golf, and I just enjoy keeping my game as sharp as I can, and right now that works for me.
How much time does a caddy spend coaching his player? Is there much, or is that left to the coaches?
Depending on the player. Right now, you know, I really don't do any coaching. He has his coach, Derek Ingram, who's from Winnipeg, and he was a Canadian national coach, and he's doing really well with Corey. I mean, he probably sees him within three weeks. You know, he won't let 3 weeks go by before he sees him again. So he's out here a lot, and it's nice to have him.
So, Danny, let's take us back to the Masters this past weekend, and you know, the sixth hole, and Corey jars the hole in one, right? Obviously, we saw your reaction, and then later in the round, he hit one off the stick. Like, as a caddy, when like, are you kind of part motivator at time, or do you try to stay calm? Like, when a guy gets a hole in one, I think you should celebrate. It's pretty rare, well, right? That's only the sixth all time.
We were pumped up a little bit, but then I remember there in those one cooler, there's a bunch of bananas in there. So I grabbed a banana. I said, here, eat this thing. So I figured like that potassium might settle them down a little bit. So I gave him a water and I gave him a banana. And then we walked.
Now, when you're at the Masters, and is it just a different level of I don't know if like respect or intensity kind of going for what that tournament means to a championship there would mean to any golfer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's like, it's so quiet out there. It's like, you know, there's usually a kind of a distraction on most of the PGA Tour events. It's just your fans, the grandstands, everything. It's loud. It is quiet out there. You can hear the birds. I mean, it's just that you just feel like you got to focus that much more because that never happens.
I have to ask you this, Danny, because I didn't know the answer when we were watching the Masters, and my wife was watching it with me, which is like, she's not a golf fan, but she's like, why are the caddies wearing the full white painter outfit? And I'm like, I honestly don't know. Like, is that a standard outfit that you have to wear, or is there like a benefit to wearing it?
No, I mean, we have to wear it. It's the name of the company is called Red Cap.
Okay.
And it's from Mexico. They make them in Mexico. But anyways, they're hot.
Oh,
but
I
it's the Masters, and you deal with it. You know, guys roll up their sleeves. There's a sign in there that says, you know, you got to, you know, you can't have any logos, and you have to have it buttoned up. So, you know, out of respect, I'm happy to do it. Some guys, like the older guys, the veteran caddies there, have been there a lot, are going shirtless. And I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure if it's like going, you know, sockless in hockey skates. I'm not sure.
But So why is it just because, like, is it like a sponsorship deal they have? Like, what's the purpose of wearing this? Is it just so all the caddies look the same?
It's just a tradition, and okay. I respect that. So
okay. No, yeah. I was curious. I never knew the answer, so I like it. So now, let's say it gets really hot sometimes at Augusta, and some guys are going shirt. Are you wearing shorts under there at least?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I wear like a sweat short and just a t-shirt. Sometimes I wear a golf shirt on Sunday. So.
Now, Danny, you know, as a caddy, you know, you see some of those movies where the caddy will come out and, like, you know, touch the grass and, like, how dewy is it and the wind and all that stuff. Like, do you get up at, like, 4 in the morning and walk the course and see which way the wind blew the leaves? Like, how much is that actually real as a caddy to get a real sense of how the course might play that day?
Well, I mean, probably before they had this live TV coverage and all the cameras and whatnot, you know, caddies would go out there in the morning and watch the golf before the tee time. And I did that this year. I went out there and cruised the grounds for a few holes and took some notes. And I see some guys going out there. I don't wear my jumper or anything. I'm just a regular patron. And, on Sunday I smoked a cigar in the morning. I went out there and blew on a cigar. I wanted to know what that wind was going.
How, like, you play, Danny? All right, you played. You know, you played a high level. You've been battling for your card a few times. So you know the pressure of golf. You get to Sunday, and Corey comes into Sunday, and you know, like, you got a chance to win. How, as a caddy, like, are you as nervous as you were when you were a golfer, or are you just more relaxed?
I was so calm. It was a weird feeling. And in the morning, on Sunday morning, I was in the caddy room and Steve Lowry's caddy, you know, the Irish guy. I apologize. I forget his name right now. But I asked him, I go, hey, were you nervous? Did you sleep good Saturday night? And he goes, I slept fantastic. So, you know, I was calm because I believe in my guy. It wasn't a fluke that he's where he's at. Mm-hmm. So I just have that feeling that, hey, we can win. I have that belief. We're going to win.
Now, Danny, you know, when you feel like your guy is on, do you offer different advice as when you feel maybe the guy who's holding maybe isn't 100% confident?
If we're on a club, I'm not afraid to tell him I think it's this one because of this. Like, I'm always going to say why. And then if he wants it, he's going to take it or he'll make his decision. But we also, we you know, with VJ a lot, it was tough. It would be tough to read him because he would grab the club already. And then we would talk a little bit, but not a lot. So Corey's very good at communicating, talk about the numbers. So we're always on the same page for the most part.
Danny Saul joins us, a PGA caddy. Of course, caddies for Canadian Corey Connors. They just finished top 10 at Augusta this past weekend. Corey Connors was top 10 on the money list last year. And, you know, he's a real up-and-comer, arguably Canada's best golfer right now on the men's side, for sure. And so, Danny, you just got teamed up with him. It's the first year. You're getting more to know. When you see Corey, like, as a guy who's golfed at a high level yourself, what impresses you most about his game?
I'll rewind that a little bit. I worked for him 4 years ago before I worked for VJ.
Okay.
I left Corey for VJ Singh, and then I ended up leaving VJ for Corey. Anyways, that's the first part. So, this Corey's game, what really impressed is how he practices, how he works on his, how he gets prepared for the tournaments. He's not out there working on his golf swing. I've never really seen him ever work on his golf swing. He works on just the rhythm of it, and he plays games. Like, he has his track, man, and he sets up competitions for himself, and we run through it. So I always know how far he's hitting every shot. I chart his clubs down every day, whether it's the morning at Augusta, the temperature, like the ball goes 5 yards less.
So
in the morning. So, like, I'm rambling on, but.
No. These are little details that I think we really like to hear, because I want to ask, like, when you see a guy, and let's say you're 165 yards out, right? Or whatever it is, 170. You know, you pick the club, but, like, really elite golfers, you know, you can take a little off, per se, on stuff. Like, so when he's swinging full, do you go for a full 165, or would you rather say, you know what, maybe we'll hit, like, a light 170 club or a 170, or sorry, like a 160 club or a 155? How does that come into it?
Just risk-reward, so... he's really good at doing, you know, assessing it. And if short is dead, like in some of these moundings, then we have to take the more club. Unless there's wind helping. So it's like we have to make sure the wind's doing this in order to hit this club. So that comes into play a little bit. So it's like you have to kind of, you got to pick the right thing. Otherwise, if it was easy, then golf would be easy for these guys. So it's a little bit of just, you know, I know what our calculations are with wind. 1 yard is 1 mile an hour.
Can you explain that? What does that mean?
1 yard of wind, or sorry, 1 mile an hour wind is equivalent to 1 yard.
Oh, okay.
I'm giving you all my insights, all my caddy wisdom.
Yeah. No, don't worry. We both play with by feel, Danny. Yeah. I don't even look at the yardage.
Yeah. Hey, Danny, has becoming a caddy made you a better golfer?
Yeah, I mean, I try to play like I caddy, or I try to caddy like I play. So, yes.
Now, you spoke about how the Masters, Danny, how it's so quiet out there. But then, you know, you hear the commentators and the players talk about the roar of the crowd. So, you know, do you hear that as a caddy, or do you think that the players hear that and that can affect kind of where they're at, you know, or how they're feeling about their game at any given moment?
No, it's just, to be honest, these guys are so good. They get fired up. I'm like, hopefully that's going to happen to them. You know, like, come on, I want to hear that from me. You know? And you know where it's coming from. You can hear it. The heavy, deep roars are down on 16. The lighter ones are on 6. You know, you just kind of, you can hear where it's coming from. The holes where the roars would be coming from.
Danny Saul joins us, PGA caddy for Corey Connors. Now you're on the senior tour of VJ. You've been with Corey Connors before. Now you're with him again. So everybody knows about the history of Augusta, but has there been a course that you've caddied that you think is a lot harder than the public perception of that course?
Yeah, well, Augusta plays. You can't explain what it feels like until you're there. And TV, I watched some of the coverage today, last week, and some of the views with these drones was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But before, like, watching the Masters, you didn't know the front nine, you knew the back nine. They never really televised the front nine, so people didn't really realize how hilly that golf course is.
Yeah, it does seem hilly. Is there a lot of change in elevation from tee to green?
Yeah, like from the top of the second hole, the par 5, down to the green is 20 yards downhill.
Jeez, that's crazy.
So just, and you have to really, to explain what it is, you have to see it. That feeling's unbelievable.
Like, are there other courses you've been at that you really like either playing or caddying at, just for the challenge of it or the views or anything like that? Do you have any favorite, like, non-Augusta courses?
I mean, Pebble Beach is beautiful. I enjoy that. You're never hot there. You got some layers on. It kind of feels like you're home in Canada a little bit. What else I like? This week's a great course, too, Hilton Head. I mean, I'm at Hilton Head this week. So we got the harbor, you know, Harbor Town with the lighthouse. I like our chances this week, too. We just had a pro-am today, and Corey birdied the last 4 holes. So anyways, we're here this week, and this will be a nice week. A nice week to win a different style of jacket.
Danny, last one for me. When kind of tell us, like, the schedule for you over the next few weeks. Like, do you guys plan, like, the whole summer? You know exactly what weeks Corey's off now, or does it depend how he's playing? And if he's on a roll, does he keep playing, or is it automatically scheduled weeks off that you'll know coming up in June, July, August?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really officially know, but his tentative schedule would be next week off. He'll play Tampa, the Valspar tournament, which is a great golf course for him. Tight driving holes and kind of, you got to hit it good. And then we go to Charlotte for the Coil Hollow, which is great because 2022, the President's Cup is there, and should be on the international squad. And so he'll play that. And then we have the PGA Championship at Kiawah. And our college coach, we both went to Kent State, a college coach has a house there. So he's staying in his house, and I think it'll be a special week for him.
And do you and Corey ever, do you guys ever play fun games head-to-head?
We've played. We're partners. We've taken down one other team so far. So we've been, we're pretty good as a team.
Well, you're playing what, like best ball or what?
Yeah, best ball. So I can go out and, I got a 47-inch driver, so I'm just swinging as hard as I can and getting out there 330, 340, and then Corey he's down the middle as well, obviously. So it's fun. We're having a good time.
330 and 340, you're hitting it off. Like, is that the farthest you've ever hit it, or did you always hit it that far?
I've always kind of been above average, I guess you would say, you know. But yeah.
Well, the time I played with you, you must have had an off day, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
He was using marshmallows.
We're doing the Olympics as well. Olympics. So we're doing the Olympics, and then we're doing the British Open. So we're going to go over 1 week early and play the Scottish Open, the British Open, and then the Olympics. And he's not going to play too much the rest of the summer. So that's his schedule.
Awesome. Well, Danny, we'll be in touch, man. It's always good to catch up with you. I appreciate it. It's fun to watch you. I like the salt and pepper look you got going right now. It's killing it, looking refined. So continued success with Corey and your group.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on your show, and look forward to coming back up to Edmonton at some point.